Pasuk Chav Gimel. Pasuk Chav Gimel Vayavo, they came at Nachal Eshkol. They came, the spies came to the valley of Eshkol. Vayichasu Misham, they cut down from there. Zemoira is a branch. The Eshkol cluster, Anavim Echad, a branch, and a cluster of grapes. Vayisu Vamoit, and they carried it Bamoit. And, how do you like that? I was able to switch to the next page. See that? Are you able to see that? Bishnoim. And they carried it on a moit bisham with two people. Umin harimoinim umin ha'teinim. Okay, let's do two seconds together. Lamakamu karod nachal Eshkol. They call that place the valley of Eshkol. Al-Oidah, so Eshkol. Regarding the cluster, asher karsu misham b'nei Yisrael. Let's go back and see Rashi. Rashi, pasuk yud chav gimel. Zimayra. What is a zimayra? A zimayra is a shoycha. Shoychas gefen, it means a branch. Whoops. One second. Zemoira is a shoychas. Shoychas means a branch. A branch of a vine. The eshkol shel anovim tolui bo. And a cluster of grapes was suspended from this branch. Vayisu'uhu vamoit bishnoyim. The word moit means a pole. They carried it with a pole, bishnoyim, with two people. Mimash mishnarashi is a question. They carried it with a pole. If you have a pole has two ends. So of course there are going to be two people that are going to be supporting the pole. So my tamalim abishnam. Why then does it say there were two people? So he says two poles. Okay, so they carried it. Bishnoyim means the word shnoyim according to Rashi appears to be going on the poles. Hakeitzad, how does that make sense? Hakeitzad, okay. Going to the Rashi of the next page. Hakeitzad.
But the grammar doesn't make sense in the pasuk then.
Because the word moat, it should make. Okay. Let's see. Let's go slow. Okay, we'll come back. Let's go slow. Okay, let's see. Let's run through it one time quickly, then we'll come back and we'll analyze it again. Let's go quickly through it. Hakeitzad. So it gives us the basic idea. Yishmoyin and Alu Eshkol. In total, there were eight people that carried one cluster of grapes. Eight people. Because we're going, how is that going to be? Eight people. Okay, it's at Shmoyin and Nalu Eshkol. Eight people. Now, if you have poles, you have two poles. That's four. So does that? So what does that mean? It means there was a total of four people. That's what it seems. There were four. I mean, eight people were carrying an Eshkol, which means there were four people on each side. Okay, let's read further. Echol notal te'ena. One person took figs. The Echel and one spy took Rimon of pomegranate. Yoshua, now that's only 10. What about the other two? There are 12 people. Yoshua, Kalev,
and
no,
Yoshua, and nothing. Carry and Kalev, and carry.
Right, that's what Rashi says. I'm reading the words of Rashi. Yoshua, Kalev, Loid, Nolu, Kilum. They took nothing. Lefi, Shekol, Atzmam, Lohitzi, Diba, Nisravnu. The only reason why the other tribes, they went, their whole plan was only Lechatchila to go to issue a slanderous report. Kishem Shapirya Mushuna Kach Amma Mishuna. The purpose of the report was just like the fruit is strange, it's Mishuna, it's different, so too the people are Mishuna. They wanted to demonstrate that the fruit of the land is abnormal, and the fruit reflects the people. That's a very fascinating insight. Who says? Just because the fruit is abnormal, why does that reflect upon the people who live in the land? This is a statement which needs more explanation. Obviously, there's some correlation between what the earth produces and the kind of people who live in the land. Now, if you want to analyze how much could each one carry, let's study the strength of these people. We know that after they entered into Eretz Yisrael, they erected a structure, a mizbech in Gilgal. The Jewish people spent 14 years in Gilgal. 14 years in Gilgal, and then they went to Shiloh. Now, when they came in, that was the first stop in Eretz Yisrael. Haribu lochem ish even achas min hayardein al shechmei. Each person carried a stone from the Yardein on his shoulder. Vehikimua beGilgal, and they put it up in Gilgal. This is what it says in the pasuk. And Chazal came along. Ushkolum Rabbeinu Mishkal Kol Echad Arboim Sa. Chazal came along and told us they must have found those stones, and they weighed them, and each stone was 40 saw. Okay, that whatever that measure is, it's not out. It's an enormous amount of weight. Ugimiri, we have a tradition to tuna the midli initial kasve, ainay el shlish masoy mimasoy shemesayin oisar leharim. When you carry something on your shoulders, it's only a third of the weight. Shlish masoy mimasoy shemesayin oisar leharim that you're able to lift up leharim. So let's understand that he's saying over here an idea that when they came into Gilgal, they picked up a stone. They picked up these massive stones. Those stones were 40 saw. And when you pick up something alone, just to pick it up, when you lift it up, you can temporarily lift up a very heavy weight. But when you carry something a long distance, you only can carry what you can lift up only a third. So if the stones were 40, so what is 40 divided by 3? What is it? Was it 15? No, less. About 12, 12 and a half, something like that. 12 and a half saw. Is that what it's saying over here? 12? 12 and a half?
So he says here is between 2.25 and 4 gallons. The footnote in
the art scroll. So what was the total weight? Ushkolim chavaseinu mishkal kol achas arboim saw. Each stone was 40 saw. Ugimi, we have a tradition. Tuna means a burden. Demidle, that you lift inish a person al kaspe on your shoulders. Einay ela, what you carry on your shoulders is only a third of what mimasoi from a burden mimasoi shemesai in oisol leharim, which you help someone lift up. Okay, I'm not sure what he means by this. I'm not really sure what he means by this. Let's go back and read the Rashi one more time. It's not going to really help us. Let's read the Rashi one more time from the very beginning to get a bit better appreciation of what's going on over here. It says over here, because we have to see the Targum, about Targum, maybe we'll come more clarity. But over here, they came over here to Eretz Yisrael, and now they're carrying back the fruits. They're taking back three fruits. They're taking back a cluster of grapes, one pomegranate, and one fig. There's one person carrying a fig, one person carrying a pomegranate, and eight people are carrying a cluster of grapes. And it says here, Vayisu'uhu, they carried it bamot with a pole bishnoyim. What does it mean? Mimash nemabayisu bamot ein yodeya shehu bishnayim. Of course, there were two people carrying it. And how else do you carry it? Mai tamloma bishnayim. It means bishnei motos with two poles. Now, if there are two poles, So what does that mean? It means there are two poles and there are four people holding on to each pole. Is that what it means? I'm not sure. Hakeitzad, what does this mean? Shemoyin nalu eshkol, eight people took hold of one cluster. Now, if there are two poles and there are eight people assigned, that means four people are holding each pole. Is that what it means? I'm missing something? Then that's eight. Echonot al teina, one person took a teina. Viechonot al rim on a pomegranate. Yeshuva Kolev Loyna Luklum. Lefisha Kolatsam Lohiti Dibun Nishabdu, because their covenant was looking to say Lashon Hara, and that's why they want to bring back the fruit. Kashem Shapir, Yemeshune Kach Amo Meshune. Vim Chofetz, now how much do these things weigh? Okay, so he makes a calculation. I'm not sure what he means over here. I'm not sure what it means, but it means that it was an enormous weight. Vim Chofetz Atle the Kama Masu Echad Mehem. What was the weight of each one of these objects? Let us compare this case to the case of the stones that they erected in Gilgal. We have two records of people in Chumash carrying heavy burdens. We have Gilgal and we have the Meraglim. In Gilgal, they came out of the Yarden when they crossed into Eretz Yisrael, and they retrieved massive stones and they put them up as a mizbeach as some type of structure in order to record this event and to write the words of the Torah on this massive structure. And this mizbeach, this structure that they built when they came into Eretz Yisrael, was still standing in the time of Chazal. And Chazal analyzed it, and they discovered that each one of those stones that was lifted up by one person was the weight of 40 sah. Now, when you lift up, or when you pull something out of the Yarden, a short distance, that's not the same amount of weight you have to carry when you want to carry something a long distance. When you carry something a long distance, there's a different system, and the two are related. Now he's making a formula here, which I'm not sure I fully understand. But the imchafetz atalei kama masri echad mehem. What was the weight? Each person picked up a stone from the Yarden, al shechmoy vehikimu begilgal. Ushakolum Rabbi Seinu. Our rabbis have calculated the weight of these stones. Mishkal kolachas arba. Each one's 40 saw. Next, ugimiri. We have a tradition. What is the tradition? That shetuna, a burden, the midle inish al kaspe. A burden which you carry upon your shoulders, meaning you put it on poles, and you put the poles on your shoulders. This is einoi ela shelish. This weight is a third masoi of a burden. Shlish masoi. It's a third of a burden. Mi masoi, from the weight of something. Shemasiin oisoi leharim, which you help someone lift up. Now, obviously, these three words over here are referring over here to the stones of Gilgal, and it seems to be saying, I don't know what this means. Mr. Rapp, we have the article, Chumash, the notes, explains what this means. I have a very good sefer, but it will take me too much time to go do it, so we'll put it aside for now. We'll see maybe soon, but obviously, he's making some correlation between the stones of Gilgal and the stones of the Peros, and it's telling us that the stones of the Peros was, it appears to be saying, is something like a third of the stones of Gilgal. So if Gilgal was 40 saw, that means that the weight that each one was carrying, the Rimoin and the Tena, was a third of 40, which is about 12 and a half, correct? 12 and a half, 12 and a half, wait, what's the blazer? 13.3. Each one was carrying 13.3 saw. And what is 13.3 saw? So Mr. Rapport told us 13.3 is...
It's 39.9.
No, each saw is between 2.25 and 4 gallons. So
4 gallons times 13.3 is what? What is 4 times 4 gallons? 4... Multiply by 13, 40. Oh, yeah, so it's the same, right. And then how much the gallon weigh? And how much the gallon weigh?
What's times
the,
four.
How much the gallon?
40 times 40. 40 times 4 is 160 gallons. So Rashi is saying you can load onto your shoulder a third of of the entire load that can be raised. So each person, according to the Rabbanan, could raise somehow 40 saw.
Uh-huh.
That's the weight of the stones, right? That's the weight. The stone weighs the equivalent of 160 gallons, right? 40 saw. Each saw.
So wait, let's get the calculation. You're saying the calculation of it is that you can put a top of your shoulder a third, and two thirds go below your shoulder. And we'll go. And a stone, what you carry, what you ordinarily carry, why? What do you ordinarily carry? So why is that point necessary? In Gilgal, each one picked up a stone that was 40 saw. So you're suggesting over here is
160 gallons.
40 saw is 160
gallons. 160
gallons. Okay, no, but that, before we get to the modern numbers, let's understand that in Gilgal, each person picked up in by himself an entire stone, and the stone is 100. As 40 saw. Here they're carrying it. Now when you carry something on your shoulders, a third of it goes above your shoulder and two thirds go below your shoulder. Why is that relevant? Why do we need to know that? What is the purpose of telling us this? Tseulamat, go and learn me'avonim shehekimu begilgal. Herimu lohem ish evenachas min hayarden. Each person picked up one stone from the Yarden al Shechmoy. They came and they put it the Gilgal. Ushekolum Rabbeinu Mishkol Kol Achas Arboim Sa. Each stone was 40 Sa. Okay, very good. So in Gilgal, what does Gilgal have to do with what took place here in Eretz Yisrael? And so he now comes to make the correlation.
Because it's teaching you.
Yeah.
Because Rashi says, in imagine you have two poles carried by eight people. That means you had four people, one on each side, either carrying the pole. Person number one and two were on the opposite sides of that pole, and persons number three and four were on the opposite sides of that same pole. And you had two, and you had another pole.
What do you mean that same pole? The pole has two sides.
And they're all carrying one cluster. So the Chiddush Rashi is trying to learn, if you say one person can only carry either 40 saw, which is 160 gallons, and that's when somebody helps him put it up there, and once it carries only a third, right? The other person can raise it onto his own shoulders, nothing but a third. The Chiddush is the godless of how great this cluster was. Think about it. You got eight people, and they're all carrying a cluster of grapes. So how much did this cluster of grapes weigh? Each person at the most can carry either, 40 saw, or a third of it, they put it, but once it gets up on the shoulders, it can carry 40 saw maximum. So the Chiddush, right, I think Rashi is trying to say, is look at the weight of the cluster of this grapes. It took eight people, two poles, each one maximum able to carry 40 saw. 40 times eight is 300, imagine 320 saw. That's what they split between them. How do we know that? Because each one, according to what we learned from Gilgal, could carry on his own 40 saw. Vice the choice, if you have to use eight people, it weighed a lot more than 40 saw.
Eight times 160. Right, okay. So it's massive, massive. These clusters were incredibly, okay, it was incredibly massive. Okay. Amazing. Now let's see what it says over here in the Targum. Let's try to maybe fill in some details. Here we go to the Targum. Targum over here in Pasuk Chav Gimel says as follows. Targum says, "Vayavohu." They came va'asoy ad nachla de Eskola. They came to the valley of Eskola. The katsu mitamon. They cut down from over there. Ovari mitamon. Okay, ovaria. What is ovaria? Ovaria means a zimoira. Rashi said it means a shoicha, a branch. Right? Rashi said zimoira shoichas gefen, a branch of a gefen. On this branch was, they cut from over there a varia, and what was on it? The eskol de invon. Now there's a vav. The eskol means a cluster of grapes, chad one. Unitaluhi ba'aricha, and they carried it on a pole bisrain with two people. Umin rimonaya, umin teinaya. La'ashrocha ha'hu, that place called, they called nachla, the eskola. Al, asek eskola, because of the activity of the cluster, the Katsu Mitamon B'nei Yisrael. Now let's see over here all the gory details. Okay, we go over here to the parish over here on the side. Okay, and let's go back over here to Pasuk Chav Gimel. First, he says over here that he called over here was the Eskola. Eskola means a cluster. Shal Eskol. Okay, so the first thing over here we learned over here is a very basic rule, a very important rule to all of this, is that the Saf and the sin are interchangeable. We learned Unkelis, a crash course in Aramaic, the Saf and the letter sin can be interchanged. Eskola, Eshkol, Hukamo Eshkol. Behis Chalfos, Ois Shin, Litov. Kiro Gil Baramis. The Ein Ze Eshkol. Yedidoi Shel Avraham, Kamavur Medrash Rabbah, Shimkein Hoy Metagim Kashmoy. Now, maybe you're going to say, Rashi over here, he's coming to make a very important point. Maybe you're going to say that when it says in the Pasuk that they came to the Nachal Eshkol, they cut out the Zemoira, they came to the valley of Eshkol. Maybe you will suggest that this was Oner Eshkol Umamre. Maybe you'll say that the place to where they came was to the city, or the valley that was the place where Eshkol lived, Avraham's pal, Oner Eshkol Mamre. So to that, the Targum is a very important Targum. Don't make that mistake, because since over here it says Eskola with a Sof, that is an indication that we're dealing with a cluster of grapes. Because if we're referring over here to a person by the name of Eshkol, who lived here once upon a time, and was buried here, and was called Nachal Eshkol, then the Targum would use a Shin, not a Sof. Okay, that's the first thing. Next, moving along in the Targum, in the Perush, then he goes, he says, Oivarta. Oivarta means what? It means a Shocha. Rashi means a Shocha, a branch of a Geffen. Perish ha'onav shekatzasay oiso, that they cut it down. Ve'ha'aviroi roish ha'aviroi. Roishoy nikro oivari. Now, what does it mean ve'ha'aviroi? Think of the word oivarto means to pass it over. Roishoy nikro ovarto, it's called ovarto. It's a branch that's cut down, and when you cut it down, you pass it to your friend. That's what it appears to mean. You pass it. Voloshna nikro, who nikro, it's called zemoira. Al shem shenizmar, which means, I guess, it's pruned. It's cut down. Okay, so is this thing going to be giving us the Rashi? I don't think Rashi is coming to disagree. Rashi is just over here going, Shoychas Geffen. Okay, next words of Rashi. Next words of the Targum. Here it says, and they carried this with Mila Alola. Now, what is this word referring to? That's right, the next pasuk. That's very Pasuk Chafei. So I can't believe this. So over here, the Targum is not really giving any more elaboration upon this, upon what's going on over here. At least not a lot according to Matri. He's not giving us any more elaboration. All right, so we'll go further. Let's go further. In Pasuk Chafei, Vayeshuvu, they return, Mitor Aretz. We're going to go further. They return from spoiling the land. Miketz, at the end of Arboim, at the end of Arboim, Yom, at the end of 40 days. Vayelchu, they went, Vayelchu, they came, Al Moshe, Vayel Aaron, Vayel Kodas, Vayel El Midbar Paran, Kodesha, Midbas Paran Kodesha, Vayoshivu, Oysam Davar, they replied to them, a matter, the Eskol Hoeda, and to the entire assembly, Vayarum, and they showed, they displayed as prehearts. Let's read these two, let's see Rashi, Chafei and Chavav. Rashi, Pasuk Chafei says, Vayeshuvu, they returned Mitor Haaretz, Miketz Abram Yoim, Vahalo Arba Meos Parsa, Al Arba Meos Parsa Hi. How in the world was it physically possible for them to travel the entire span of the land, which is 400 Parsa by 400 Parsa? Umahalich Adam Beinoni Asar Parsa Isliyam, the most a person can possibly walk in a day is 10. So how long will it take to go walk 4,400? Hari Mahalich Arboim Yoim, then you need double. The traveling, if you're going to travel 400 and there are 10 parsos, so it takes 40 days to go 400. They went orchovarochbo. They did double. And not only did they do double, they had to come back. They had to return. Elo shagoli lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu sheyigzu aleihem yom l'shana kotzar lefneihem es haderech. Kifitzas haderech. How do you like this? This is possibly the third example in the Torah of Kifitzas haderech. Where else do we have Kifitzas haderech in the Torah? We have by Eliezer. Eliezer, when he went to go find the Shiduch, he arrived there very quickly. Hayoim yotzasi v'hayoim bo. He left and he got back. He got there immediately. Where else do we find Kifitzas haderech? Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu, he went to Lavan, and he passed over the place, then he realized he made a mistake. He should have been mispallel in the place where his forefathers were mispallel. So he wanted to go back, and suddenly he found himself there at that place. Now, by the way, the other before should learn that it's a different type of Kefisas HaDerech. There, the Kefisas HaDerech was, the place came to him. Yitzchak, Eliezer, he was able to travel supersonic speed. He got his destination quickly. Yaakov, when he wanted to be somewhere, Hashem brought the location to him. There are two types of Kefisas HaDerech. There's a Kefisas HaDerech, you are transported to the Mokoyim, and then there's another Kefisas HaDerech where the Mokoyim is brought to you. How does all that work? I have no idea, but that's what it says. Now here, we're learning over here a third type of Kefisas HaDerech. Now, it would appear that It doesn't say over here who went where. All we know is that they were able to travel a lot more than they were able to ordinarily do. And what is shocking is, these were wicked people. People who had an intent to issue a slanderous report. And because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that the punishment would be Yoyim Lashana, one year corresponding to a day. So if they would have traveled Al Derech HaTeva, then we would have been in the desert for a lot more than 40 days. We would have been in the desert for at least 120 days. If it takes 40 days just to go along the length and then the width and then backwards, so that's going to be at least that's going to be 160 days. Am I saying that correctly? Yes, that's going to be 160 days, and then they have to get back home. They traveled in the desert, so they would have been in the desert for an enormous amount of time. So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rachmanis and shorten their distance? Because it was a chesed. So here we learn an incredible chiddush. Even though the people were wicked, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rachmanis upon them, in order that Klal Yisrael should not have to suffer. Okay, that is pasuk chaf hey. Chaf, what does Chavav say? Chavav says they went, they returned to Klal Yisrael. Vayelchu vayevo mahu vayelchu lahakesh halichasim lebiyasan. They went and they arrived. Ma biyasan beitzara. When they arrived, when they came back home, they had an eitzara af halichasim beitzara. Rashi over here is telling you the secret that the moment they left to spy on the land. They already had a machshava to speak lashon hara. Vayashivu, and they replied oisam davar es moishe viyasaron. It says, by Yeshiva Oysam Davar. So who is the subject? Es Moshe V'Yisar. This who? Let's go back to the pasuk. Let's go back to the pasuk. Vayelch Vayevol Moshe V'Yalaron V'Yalkol Das V'Yishol Midbar Paran V'Kodesh VaYeshiva Oysam Moshe Oysam Davar. They replied a Davar to who? To Moshe V'Yaron, and then the Eskol Ho'Eda, and then to the Eda. Then Vayaruam, they showed all of them as priorit. So over here, Rashi over here is telling something very important. This repetition. Rashi's question over here is, what does it mean over here, the word Oysam? How is the word Oysam different than the word V'eskol Ho'eda? And Rashi answers, Oysam refers to Moshe V'Aaron. To Moshe V'Aaron, they first issued a slanderous report. And then afterwards, V'eskol Ho'eda, they issued a slanderous report to the entire assembly, to Klal Yisrael. And then they showed them the pre-harvest, the abnormality of the fruit, and made that statement that if the fruit is abnormal, so the people there must be abnormal as well. So sach hakol, what do we take out of this so far? So according to Rashi, what do we learn over here so far today? We learn over here is vayashuvu mitur haaretz, they returned from spying the land miketz at the end of 40 days. Rashi teaches us that that it says 40 days is in an impossibility, because it takes at least 40 days just to travel the length. And here they travel the length and the width back and forth. And they had to travel in the desert also to reach the destination. So therefore, there must have been at least 160 days, if not a lot more. And how then can the pasuk say 40 days? We have no choice but to say this. There was kefitzas haderech. Why? Rashi tells us in powerful Yisoid Rachmanus, Hashem knew, soif mais, machshav etchila, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to have them stay in the desert Yoyim Lashana, and Hashem did not want us to stay there so long, so therefore Hashem brought about Kefitza Saderech so that we should not be in the desert more than 40 days. Vayelchu vayavohu, they went. Why are we replying? Why are we now going back to going? According to Rashi, Vayelchu refers to their journey. They came back. It says in the Pasuk Hafei, Vayashuvu. So if they are shuvu, what's vayelchu? They already came back. Why does it say that they went? The answer is, the only reason why it says vayelchu is to teach you that now vayavo el Moshe del Aaron, and they're going to issue a slanderous report. We're coming to fill in that this kavana to say lashon hara was all planned. It was premeditated from the moment that they left. They left lechatchila to go and find trouble. Now let's see the targum chavav, chav hey and chavav. Pasuk chav hey visavu Mil Allah, which means that they returned from Mitur. This is the word Mitur from spying. Mil Allah, Ara, the land, Misoif, Arba, In, Yomin, they returned from spying the land at the end of 40 days. Chava, Va'azalu, Va'aso, they came, the Levos, Mashon, Levos, Aaron, Levos, called Kinishto, Divnei Yisrael. They came back, and they returned, they came to Moshe and Aaron, Lamadbara, Deporon, Lirkam, is Kidesha, okay, Deporon, Lirkam. What's Lirkam? Lirkam somehow corresponds to the word Kodesha. Vasivu Yosoin Piskama, they gave over to them a report, the Yos to them, to Moshe, the Yos called Kinishta to the entire assembly, the Ich Zi Unun Yos Iboda Aaron. He showed them the fruit of the land. Now let's see over here what it says in the parish of Yom Pasach of Hey and Chavav. Chav Hey over here it says Misoif. Miketz means Misoif. At the end of 40 days, V'chein Kasav Rashi, Shekol Lashon Ketz Soif. Udoloi Keo Ibn Ezra, Shekasav Sheitochin Lefarish Shechozhu Bitchilas, in the beginning, Yoim Ho'arboim. So here is the issue. What does it mean, Miketz? Vayihi Miketz Shenosayim Yomim Ufaroi Choylei V'inei Yomim Alay Or. What does it mean, Miketz? Miketz, they return me towards Miketz. So Rashi learns the very end of 40 days. Why does it say, now Ibn Ezra doesn't mean the very end of 40 days, it means the beginning of 40 days, the beginning of day 40. They were away for 39 years, and now they're arriving at the beginning of day 40. Again, one more time, it's very important. It will be a very big nafkamina between Rashi and Ibn Ezra. The chain cause of the Targum is taking sides. The Targum is telling us what Miketz means, the end. V'chein kasev Rashi, shekol lashon ketz soifu, v'udoloi kohi Ibn Ezra, shekasev sheitochen, it's possible, lefarish, to explain, shechozhu bitchilas, the beginning yoyim ho arboim, lemay nafkamina. This will answer a very strong question. What's the question? That when Hashem ultimately punished the Jewish people, and told them, because you went and you spied on the land, and you brought back a slanderous report for this amount of time, you will be punished and you will be in the desert for 40 years. Yoim Lashana. What's the problem? From the time that they went, the story of the desert, the story of the Meraglim took place in which year? It took place in the beginning of the second year, not in the first year. And how many more years did they indeed remain in the desert? 39 years. If you're going to say like Rashi and like Unkelus, that Miketz means at the end, that means they spent exactly 40 days away. And when Hashem punished Klal Yisrael, Hashem said, Yoim Lashana. So that means how many more years should Klal Yisrael spend in the desert? 40. How many years have they spent until now in the desert? 1. What is 40 plus 1? 41. How many years in total do the Jewish people spend in the desert according to our records? 40. So we're missing a year. We're missing 1 year in the desert. 1 year in the desert. But if you learn like Ibn Ezra, that says that the spies really only spent 39 days in spying the land. Because when it says of your Miketz, Arboim Yoim, Miketz does not mean the end. According to the Ibn Ezra, Miketz just means an end. But it can mean either the beginning or the end. Miketz just means an end point. It means an end point. And an end point can be either the beginning or the end point can be the end. Okay, so it can be either the beginning or the end. That would then mean that when did they come back? They came back in the beginning of day 40. How many days then did they spy on the land? 39 days. When Hashem punished them to be in the desert, Yoim Lashana, how many more years would the punishment be? 39 years. How many years were they already in the desert before this terrible event took place? 1 year. So it's perfect. It works out. So the Ibn Ezra saves the day. The Ibn Ezra translates the word Miketz means an endpoint. They came back from spying the land, miketz, meaning in the beginning of Arboim Yoim, the beginning of day 40. And that solves the problem. Yoim Lashon, only 39 more years. But according to Rashi, and according to the Targum, Besavu, they return Mila Alola. Ara, Misoif. Oh, he says Misoif. He doesn't want to say in the beginning. Misoif, oh, now we got a kasha. Indeed, we have a difficulty. And we're going to have to struggle to answer the difficulty. And the truth is, it's not so difficult because we do know that the last year, Hashem forgave all the people that were supposed to die. That last year, approximately 15,000 people died every single Tisha B'Av. Every single year on Tisha B'Av, everyone dug a grave. They dug a grave, everyone went to sleep. And from Klal Yisrael, about 15,000 people did not wake up the next day. And in the last year, when the last 15,000 people were supposed to die, they dug graves. And guess what happened? They all woke up. So they thought they made a mistake in the calendar. So they dug a grave again. They went back to sleep again the next night and the next night. And by the time it got to the 15th day of the month, when there was a full moon, there was no way in the world they could have made a mistake by now. And no one died. This was a sign from Shemayim that Hashem forgave them, that last group. The last group, so in other words, the last year of the 40 years, it was different. It was a whole different hanhaga. Indeed, Moshe Rabbeinu gave Mishneh Torah. That would answer the question according to Rashi. Because according to Rashi, who says that you're only supposed to be in the desert, you're only supposed to be in the desert, they only were there for, I'm making a mistake. What was our question? Our question was, let's go back and review the question and answer. The question was, if you're going to learn like Rashi, who says that they miketz means the end, how many years indeed, how many days did the spies check out the land? 40. So that would require Klal Yisrael to remain in the desert for one more year. Now, so the question is a very good question. It is a very strong question. They should have been there in the desert for one more year. They should have been there for one more year. But according to the Ibn Ezra, how many days indeed did they spy? 39 days. So that's why they were only in the desert for another 39 days. Now, this I told you about, they didn't do the last year, and that doesn't make any sense. So we have to forget about that. Now, let's go. Next words over here in the Perush, Lirikam. Lirikam is Kodesha. Why over here is the Targum, the Ma'at Sari, calling Kodesha? They returned. They came to Moshe, to Midbar Poron, which is Kedesha. Midbar Poron has two names. And he calls it Lirikam. This goes back to the old word that we spent some time on yesterday. The Targum Unkelis is a very unique approach to telling us locations. Whenever it says a Mokoim in the Torah, the Targum Unkelis, who lived approximately, how many years? 1500 years after these events happened, he refused to call and refer to these locations by their ancient names. He went to a modern day map from his times. He took out his smartphone, he went to Google Maps, he typed in the coordinates, and he looked and he saw, what is this place called today? So that people who are reading my translation will be able to relate to this in modern terms. And the word, this is called Midbar Poron, and the Torah tells us it was called Kedesha. But it was called Kedesha back in the day, 1500 years before Unkelis wrote his translation. In the days of Unkelis, this place called Midbar, this place Kedesha, was known as Rikam. It was known as Rikam, Lirikam. That's what it was called on the map. So that's why he called it Lirikam. This is something very common in Unkelis. Every time you have a Mokam, we have a guest and having here again today. Now, it goes a little bit further, and he's over here, Kosam Haral. Unkelis Tergim Rikam Bain Al Kodesh, the Midbar Paran, or Bain Al Kodesh, the Midbar Tzin. Now, here we're getting over here to a big problem. The Maral says, we got a problem because we have over here two different Kodesh, two different places called Kodesh. There was a Kodesh in Midbar Poron, and there was a Kodesh in the place called Midbar Tzin. Midbar Paran is not the same as Midbar Tzin. Now, Midbar Paran and Midbar Tzin are regions, and in these regions there are cities. In the region of Midbar Paran, there is a city called Kadesha. And in the region of Midbar Tzin, there's also a place called Kodesh. And over here, and Targum, neither here and elsewhere, when we refer to the Kodesh in the Midbar Tzin, he also calls it Rikan. So how can you say that the Targum is referring to the modern-day city? It's not likely that when the Targum was alive, the place called Kodesh in Midbar Tzin was all, and the place of Kodesh of Midbar Paran had the same modern name. That's not reasonable. So therefore, Shaladaita Midbar Kodesh, Midbar Tzin, the Shaladaita Midbar Kodesh, Midbar Godel Hoya Kiddachsev, Yochel Hashem Midbar Kodesh, Vashem Mokum Yuchud Kodesh Barnea, Umokum Kodesh Midbar Tzin Shem Kodesh, Koil El Hakol. So he's coming to disagree. And he's coming to say over here is that because the Targum over here, he calls the same place, he's saying over here that Midbar Tzin, let's read one more time over here. We'll try to say one more time over here. Shall die to Midbar Kodesh, Midbar Godel Hoya, Midbar Kodesh was a very large place. Yochel Hashem Midbar Kodesh. I don't know what that means. The Shema Yimakum Yuchud Kodesh Barnea. Makam Kodesh Midbar Tzin, the Shem Kodesh Koil HaKol, the Chenu B'Sed Oilam. So it seems like what he's saying over here is, it's just the opposite. What he seems to be saying, the Maral is that Midbar Paran and Midbar Tzin are subsets of Kodesh. That's what it appears that he's saying. When you read the pasuk at face value, you read over here is Vayavob Moshevil Aranovil Kodeshal Midbar Paran Kodesha. It's like so when you say Midbar Paran, it's like you go to America. Come to America. Come to the big desert. Midbar Paran. Where? Meet me in America. Where? Where in America? In Kodesha. In Brooklyn. So the Midbar Paran, it would appear to be the big region, and then we get specific. Come to America. Where in America? In Kodesh. Problem is that there's another Midbar called Midbar Tzin, and it says Midbar Tzin, and there's a place called Kodesh, also related to Midbar Tzin. So does that mean that Midbar Tzin was a very big place? It was Australia. And in Australia, meet me in this particular city. Is that what it means there as well? Possibly, but it's a little bit forced. So therefore, what the morale here is doing, he's doing just the opposite. Just the opposite. Kodesha is America. In America, there's a city, there's a little region called Brooklyn, and there's another place called Passaic. Midbar Paran is Passaic, and Midbar Tzin is Brooklyn. Both Midbar Paran and Midbar Kodesha are found in Kodesha, the same Kodesha in America. So he appears to be saying just the opposite of what you would ordinarily say. Ordinarily, you would say the Midbar Paran is the larger area, and Kodesh is the subset. That's problematic because we find another Kodesha related to Midbar Tzin. And we do all the math, something doesn't work out. And the only way we can reconcile this is by saying that Midbar Paran that's the subset. And the larger, expansive area is Kodesha. All right, we'll have to stop over here. It's late. Rabbi Yisai, thank you very much for coming and learning with me. I enjoy this shir very much. Finally get to learn something which I learned in first grade. Some basic things over here. How to read a Rashi, and how to learn over here a little Targum. I hope you got something out of this. Have a wonderful evening. Enjoy your evening.
Thank you, Rabbi. Good night.
Zay gesund. Mr. and Ms. Glatter, thank you for coming. Have a wonderful evening.